Brethren, thank God for tonight.
Amen.
And for those who he has anointed to be here.
Amen.
Thank God. I believe God has brought us here for a special purpose.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, we should endeavor to accomplish that reason for which God has brought us
Amen.
To this point. We are very, very close to the end of all things.
Amen.
And it is absolutely necessary that we get the message that it is very close. One of our sisters was fasting a couple of weeks ago, and she went into her bedroom and heard a voice behind her say, I want to talk to you. And she was frightened because she knew it was God saying, I want to talk to you. Now, when Daddy says, I want to talk to you, your heart leaps because you. So she said, Lord, have I done something wrong? He said, am I in trouble? She said. He said, yes, you are in trouble, and the whole church is in trouble. Because it is very late and you are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scripture tells me that the bride had made herself
Amen.
Ready.
Amen.
Now, if you're sitting down waiting for God to get you ready,
mm-hmm.
you are in trouble.
Amen.
Because God said that the bride had made herself ready. Now that means that God gave her the wherewithal, everything she needed to be ready.
Right.
And if she's not ready, it's not God's fault.
Amen. Right.
Now, we are sitting here this evening and we're not ready.
Amen.
Now, if Jesus Christ should come at this moment, we would be in real trouble because we are not ready. Now, we could go into the details, which we might go into later, about how did they get the temple ready for the coming of the Lord. The God would come down in the temple at least once every year at the Day of Atonement. I think we're around that season now, isn't that right? And that God would come down to meet with man to forgive the sins of the people of Israel, and for that one day the priest, the high priest, would go into the holiest of all to meet with God. Now you hear me, that there's a day that God ordained when man and God must meet face to face in the holiest of all. But then, what happened? The holiest of all was broken down, and Jesus said there would not be one stone left standing on another. And if one temple was destroyed, it was only because God had another temple that was greater and better than Solomon's temple. And so, the third temple became Israel. And somebody said, aha, I told you Israel. Israel. And Israel is sitting before me because the temple is the Son of God and you are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
Now, you're the temple in two ways. You are the temple corporately. There's a corporate temple that God calls the body of Christ. And you are the temple individually. And you are absolutely responsible for that piece of temple that is sitting down here. You are 100% responsible for that temple.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, you are not responsible for the others. You are just responsible for that piece which you control. And because you are a temple, then God must show up in you sometime. And when the old church, we talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, we are all looking at the sky. Amen. You have no right to look at the sky until he's got in the air. Until you got the Jesus that is coming inside of you, the sky means nothing to you but damnation. For he said that the sinner will see him coming in the clouds of glory and they will run and hide. He didn't say they will be coming, he'll be coming in rain clouds. He said the clouds of glory. If you read your Bible well, you will see that God said that he has given you what? The glory. The 17th chapter of John says, I, Father, he was praying. He said, give me, verse 5, give me the glory which I had with you from before the foundation of the world. Amen. Now, I just want you to think a little bit. What kind of a glory could Jesus Christ have with God before the foundation of the world? Can you imagine it? Can you think of it? No, we can't. We haven't got the acumen. It is impossible for our mind to conceive the magnitude of Almighty God moving with Jesus before. Because it was something beyond the imagination of man. And God, and Jesus said to the Father, Father, now, do you remember when we said, let there be light? And there was light. Do you remember when we said, let us make man in our own image? Do you remember that? Father said, oh yes. He said, well, all right. That glory, that power, the magnitude of that operation, give it to me. And he went on praying. And he prayed right down and said, Father, don't take them out of the world. Amen. Don't rapture them. Verse 15. Verse 15, Jesus prayed that God would not rapture the church. Right. Amen. Look at it. Amen. Somebody doesn't believe, look at it. It's John chapter 17 and verse 15. I give you a little chance to find it. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst take the world out of them. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing, brethren. That's what he said. Don't take them out of the world, but get that world out of them. Who put the world there? If a bright student could ever answer me that question, I'd take my seat. Who put the world in them, in us? God set the world in you. He said he subjected you to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of his hope that he has, that Wally will rise out of the vanity and the world and rise into the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory.
We are not children of vanity. We are not ordained to be vanity.
Right.
We are ordained to rise above the vanity.
Amen.
angels never had that privilege.
No,
angels never had that privilege.
No,
good, thank you.
Praise God.
Angels never had that privilege.
Mm-hmm.
The saints of old. Saints of old said that they wish they were living at our time, to have the privilege to be the end time people, the people who God is depending on.
Amen.
To destroy the devil.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
We're so wishy-washy. Wishy-washy people. We don't know how God's going to do it. We don't know how he can do it. But God says you are the people who are going to destroy the devil.
Right.
And deliver the earth out of his hand.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, but well, it says, God says that the work is finished. Because the work is finished, all I have to do is to cut my tent and sit down and drink coffee. God's going to do it. Brethren, every time God says he's going to do something, he generally chooses a man to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. God said he could take the stones, and out of the stones he could bring children to Abraham. God has ordained you. You were born at this time. For such a time as this, there is a church in the earth who will bring forth the glory of God.
Oh, yeah.
And man will see God's glory with his eyes, and he will run and hide from the glory of God coming out of you.
Amen. Amen.
Out of the clouds.
Amen.
Jesus said he will appear.
Amen.
What am I talking about? You are the clouds.
Amen.
You are clothed in Jesus. You cover him up so badly that Jesus came in here this evening and could not even manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We were trying desperately to sing, and when I came on here, I thought it was a funeral. Hallelujah. Not giving you any blame at all. It's just that the glory wasn't coming out of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We came into the house of God without a gift.
Amen.
You know, in the old church, in the Pentecostal realm, in the charismatic, in the, you know, TBN, world of preaching.
Yeah.
They said, come into the house of the Lord with a gift, which is the true word of God. But what kind of gift they want? They want you to bring money. Money will not bring the anointing. God wants you to bring a gift. If the Spirit to come in here with something to offer. There are hungry people here waiting to get to see Jesus.
Amen.
They want Jesus to come in you and for you to explode and open up Jesus before them.
Amen.
And when you start singing the Christ comfort, that is the gift that God wants you to bring to the house of God.
Amen.
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 Jesus. Mm-hmm. Why then have we come burdened, laden with sin, clouding Jesus, cover him with darkness? If Jesus is in his temple, let me see him. Let him come forth when you open your mouth.
Amen.
Let the glory of God shine through you.
Yes.
Where is the glory?
Yes, amen.
He said, give them the glory. Verse 5. Verse 22. And remember now, in verse 5 he's praying. And he said, Lord, you give me the glory. Let's read it. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We are talking about the Almighty God, the Omnipotent Almighty God, whose power and glory is beyond what the human mind can conceive or the human soul could stand. We couldn't stand God. If he came and stood there, we'd be dead. Amen. Hey, don't you understand who we are dealing with? We are dealing with a God who had to show himself in flesh, cover himself over with darkness in order to come to us. Amen. For if he appeared before us, we would be dead. Right. We would melt away. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus came. And Jesus brought the glory of God in him. And he shut up God. He covered God with clothes. Amen. The clothes of flesh. He covered God with the body. Amen. Of Mary.
Amen.
Yes. He covered God. Hallelujah. Under the human burden. Hallelujah. Covered him up. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. And at the cross. At the cross, brethren. You always heard of the seven words of the cross. Huh? You heard of the seven words of the cross, eh? Mm-hmm. Jesus spoke an eighth thing that could not be uttered in word. No word that human could have spoken. The Bible said that after he said it is completed, he made a cry. Mm-hmm. He made a great cry. And out of him issued everything that God had put in the earth. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And the rocks rain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The rocks rain. And the dead rose. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And he said, the veil is his flesh. Are you with me?
Amen.
Your flesh must rend before you really see Jesus.
Amen.
God is giving us an opportunity of seeing Jesus while we yet live.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Most men see Jesus when they're about to die.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. God is giving us an opportunity to see Jesus while we are yet alive. Flesh and blood man see Jesus, walk with Jesus, which is almost an impossibility, but he's covering up himself under clothes. Amen.
Amen.
Said he will appear in the clouds. And he said every eye shall behold him.
Amen.
Amen. Their eyes shall behold him, and they'll come and run. And say, hide us from the face of Jesus. And they run to the rocks and the mountains and dig down in the earth to hide themselves. But the glory of God will cover the earth.
Mm-hmm.
As the waters cover the sea,
Amen. Amen.
There will be no hiding place.
Amen.
Brethren, we are not ready. We are not ready. But why would God tell us that we are not ready?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Why would God tell us that we are not ready? The reason is because we can get ready.
Amen.
It is not too late.
Right.
There is hope. I mean, that is the reason he tells us we are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you are not ready. And that carries a message that is saying to us that we are not ready, but you know, you could get ready.
Amen.
Now, someone asked me the question. Then brother says, how do I get ready? Now, if you should kill yourself, get rid of the flesh. Do you think that would make you ready?
No way.
Where the tree fell, there it would lie.
Right.
You would still be unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, God is asking us to do a few things.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to touch some of them tonight. You turn with me to Revelation chapter 3.
Praise God.
Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 2. And I want you to read with me this message that the angel brought to the church of Ephesus. Mm-hmm. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. God is writing to an angel.
Right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. What kind of an angel would God have to send a letter to? Be with me now. God Almighty does not speak to angels with words. The exalted angels, spirit beings, they don't speak with words. Did you know that? The reason they couldn't speak with words, this is a slow way of communicating. This is a, you know, this is very slow. God speaks, and a million books are written with one. It's like the computers we have now teach us some very great lessons. You could copy a whole book in a couple seconds, and that is the kind of a way God speaks. God just speaks, flash of light, and the angel gets the message. So when the Bible says that God is writing a letter to an angel, what kind of an angel is that? Let us go back and see if we can find out what kind of an angel it is. Because somehow or the other, if we don't clear that point, you know, I preached that one day in, in Michigan, Grand Rapids. And they asked me to leave, not to come back. And I was so sorry for them, you know, because if they had known better, they would have just read the Bible. You see, in chapter 1, in verse 19, it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall hereafter be hereafter. And then he's going to tell us the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, this explains, therefore, what the candlestick means and what the angels mean. Now, therefore, he says unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, he's talking about a man. He's talking about a messenger. A messenger who was given the word for the church at Ephesus. And he said, I know thy works, and thy labor and thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The church had left its first love. Now, for all churches that leave their first love, this is going to be the judgment. Do you understand?
Amen.
It's not, God wrote this here to the church of Ephesus as a type of every other church that leaves its first love.
Right.
You understand me? Now, This, therefore, the church that leaves its first love, hear what he says. He said here now, nevertheless, remember 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else, judgment, I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, it is bad news, but because we are here tonight to tell good news, we will see that this bad news is good news. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes, if it's bad news for the devil, it's good news for us. Amen. And if it's bad news for the transgressor, it's good news for those who don't transgress. So God is saying to us tonight that there is a church in the end of time that will lose its candlestick. What is the candlestick? Let's look again. And the 7 stars are the 7 angels of the churches, and the 7 candlesticks with those stars are the 7 churches. Are you with me? If God then is going to remove a church, take away the light, remove it out of its place, then it is possible.
Yes.
It is possible. Can I tell you something? He has removed the 7 candlesticks out of their places. Amen. And he is bringing forth 1 candlestick. Let's say the 6 candlesticks. 6 is the number of man. The 6 candlesticks. He is bringing forth 1 candlestick. And I want to show you the picture of the Christ in the midst of the candlestick. Amen. If you look back at the same chapter 1, John knew Jesus. He knew him as much as anyone can know any other person. And in verse 12, I turned, he said, to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Huh? And in the midst of 7 candlesticks, 1 like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, the whole as snow, and eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters.
Amen.
And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Amen. Now, let me tell you, I know you catch a message already. You catch the idea. Jesus Christ is standing inside of the middle candlestick. You imagine the 7? They are like this. Outer, 2, 2. And 1 in the middle where I'm standing. And Jesus Christ himself is standing inside of the middle candlestick, meaning to say he's going to possess a church.
Amen.
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 He's going to possess a church, that he and the church will be indistinguishable.
Amen.
You couldn't say this is the church and this is Christ. Christ will be in the church. The Bible said he was standing in the midst. Mean the middle candlestick. Amen. And his hair was white. Maturity.
Right.
The church had come to the mature man.
Amen.
True tribulation, though, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Look, his hair was white. And his paps were girded with a golden girdle. Mm-hmm. Amen. And his head and his hair were white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. That means judgment will come forth from this church. Amen. That this church is going to be the judgment of every church.
Amen.
Amen. When you come forth in the glory of God, the power of God will go forth. Mm-hmm. And it will be the judgment of every church, because every church could have been right where you are.
Amen.
God did not play favors to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're coming down there. We're coming to it. I hear some voices. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We're coming to it. Now, his feet. Yes, and his feet. His feet. You walk on the earth. Your feet get in contact with the earth. And it moves you along. So your walk, the place you walk, the kind of walk you have. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as a sound of many waters. Every time you read scripture, and scripture tells you that there's a voice of many waters, it's talking about the church.
Amen.
Triumphant.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
It's talking about the triumphant church. Many waters. No, it's not a one person business that he's talking about here. Somebody said this is talking about Jesus Christ himself. It's talking about Jesus in the church.
Amen.
Remember, Christ Jesus came and he died and he gave you part of himself.
Amen.
He left his blood, and his blood is his life, and his blood is to quicken us, his blood is to heal us, his blood is to deliver us.
Amen.
His blood is to set us free, his blood is to defend us.
Amen.
From every devil that walks on the earth or elsewhere that are afraid of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Now, brethren, let's look a little more. Because the more we look, it's the more we see.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes, sir. And we are walking, therefore, through the tribulation, the fire. And the fire will not burn us. Now, if I say this, I must substantiate this thought by another scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So let us look at Revelation 11.
Amen.
11. 11. And we look at that first verse. There was given me a rod like unto a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. You see, there is a time set for God to take a measure.
Amen.
Of us.
Amen.
To see if we have come up.
Mm-hmm.
To the place where we ought to be. The reason is that God must loose the devil.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
The devil is bound. He is bound so much that he cannot do the things he would like to do. You see. But God promised him that he's going to loose him one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. God promised he's going to lose him one day. But God said, I give you power.
Amen.
Over the power of the enemy.
Amen.
Listen again. I, God, give you man power over the power of the enemy. You don't have to think how small you are. You don't have to think how weak you are. You don't have to think how poor thing you are. You are no poor thing. You are what God has created. And God says he gives you power over the power of the enemy. Then how the same God could let go of an enemy that is more powerful than you? It will not happen. If a devil face you and he begins to bind you, you should know that you have the power over him.
Amen.
Oh yes. If you let him, he'll do it. The devil will do anything you let him do. But you do have the power to stop him.
Amen.
Amen. You have the power to stop him. You have the power to create any deliverance you believe on earth. All things are possible to him that believe it. We had a meeting down in Jamaica for 20 days and every soul in the meeting was healed. Every soul received a healing, a deliverance. We did not have a healing meeting. I don't believe in healing meetings. I don't believe in tent healers. I believe in men preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And he sent forth his word and it healed them.
Amen.
Amen. Whenever you open up and the Spirit of God begin to flow through you, he will blast out any sickness,
Amen.
Any trouble, any temptation, any distress you have. It depends on how much you open.
Amen.
Amen. And the floodgate is open. God will flood in and he will cure that body. He'll cure that soul. He'll cure that mind of everything that possesses you or oppresses you.
Amen.
For God did not ordain that man should be oppressed by the devil. Take it now. Receive it. You will receive everything that God wants for you. If you can receive it, it is yours. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Meshua. Yes. And so he says here, but the court, come on with me now, but the court which is without the temple, leave out, don't measure it. Huh? For why was you made? It is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Brethren, God is saying that there is a time when the church will be given to the Gentiles to be trodden underfoot. What part of the church you're talking about? Because he just said here, and the next verse, he will tell you what part of the church. He said, the outer court will be trodden underfoot, but listen to this. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So if you are in the number one here, verse 1, you cannot be in verse 3. Because all these are speaking of the corporate body and not of individuals. Somebody preached that the 2 witnesses are Moses and Elias. Moses and Elias could not accomplish that which the 2 witnesses will accomplish. For they will go forth and subdue the world.
Amen.
Yes, they will subdue the world. They will overcome death.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
He said the last enemy to be overcome will be death.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2 witnesses are those who overcome death.
Amen.
Amen. And so, if you have immortal life, can you have death at the same time? Tell me now. Those who receive immortality will not die. They will sleep and rise up again for a purpose. In other words, Jesus knew that he had immortality. Jesus knew that man couldn't kill him. Is it scriptural?
Yes, yes.
He knew that man couldn't kill him. He said, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up again on the third day. And if you believe the Bible, you must believe in the third day a resurrection for Jesus Christ. Amen. But you must also believe that there was another man that resurrected from the grave after 3.5 days on the fourth day. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And that man is a type of the first fruits company, the sons of God, the two witness company, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. That is the thing that God is preparing in you now.
Amen.
And it's covered with clouds and darkness. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's covered up on the trash. It's covered up in the rubbish heap. Mm-hmm. And people will throw it away, not knowing that in that thing lies the glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
Unfulfilled, manifested. You see, when they want to curse us, they call us manifested sons.
Right.
I don't know who could ever teach a thing like that, that we are manifested sons.
Mm-hmm.
This wretched man is not yet manifested.
No way.
What I have in me is not yet manifested. The glory of God has not yet come forth. If the glory of God came forth, you couldn't stand here and think in foolishness. Amen. The glory of God would blow your mind away. We are not yet glorified. But guess what? We know we're going to be. We know we're going to be glorified. Amen. Because we know we are going to be glorified. We don't care what happens to this body, what the devil does. Some of us get smashed up, get kicked up, get all kinds of blows from Satan. And you know what will be the glory?
Amen.
Standing before Satan at the end of time and said, here am I.
Yeah.
You killed me. You murdered me. You gave me this sickness. You gave me that sickness. And yet, I overcame.
Amen.
I'm here.
Amen.
And you are in the pit.
Yeah.
And that is the glory. And this is the knowledge that you must have so strongly in your soul that you know, that you know, that you know that you are immortal.
Amen.
Now, if you are immortal and you have mortality, in other words, let me put it another way. If you cannot die, immortal, and in you, you have death. Amen. You have to get rid of the mortality before the immortality can manifest. That is so simple, isn't it? Amen. Yet, it is not you who are going to do it. You have to let God do it. And so, if you can submit your mortality before God, submit your mortality before God, And tell God your problem. You know, I have a problem, God. I am mortal. And I want to be immortal. Huh?
Yeah.
God will surely kill you. And he'll kill you slowly too. Did you know that? He'll kill you slowly. And you go on your butt, your head over here, and you shake it off, and you go and you hit your foot over there. And you continue for a while until you learn wisdom, until you begin to learn how to open up the gates. You know, I was praying for somebody, and I'm concentrating on the person's illness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I be healed and all that sort of thing. And God began to say to me, you haven't opened up the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't opened up the gate. Open up to him. And he'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're there concentrating on the sickness that a person needs, however. When you're praying for somebody, you begin to open up the gate. Lord God, forgive me of all my sins. Lord God, deliver me from all my inhibitions, my weaknesses. Oh God, breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hey! Have mercy upon me, O God. Amen. Amen. And let the floodgates open. And when the gates open, God flow right through you into someone else. Amen. Amen. I remember times, you know, when I had nothing. I had nothing. I was in the service. I had nothing. I was all shaken up and beaten by a woman rushing in with a boy and said, "Heal him." You know, I talk this thing so often, you must know it by heart. But I remember that. I was so distressed. I said, "My God, what am I going to do? Here is a boy that never talked from he was born, has no tongue in his mouth. Woman brings him right up before the whole congregation and said, "Heal him." Wow. Embarrassed. Would like to get a hole through the floor to crawl out of that place. Then I said to God, "What am I going to do?" And as clear as you sit there, brother, God says in my right ear, "You are not going to do anything."
Yeah.
And then he added, "I am."
Praise God.
And beloved brethren, can you imagine how you feel? Can you imagine the glory that take you from the depths of embarrassment up to the highest height of faith? God says he is going to heal the boy, and nobody else in the crowd knew that God said so but me. Hallelujah. I don't know, but I felt like an actor. You know, when an actor goes out to act a part, he isn't doing anything, but he's just acting. I felt like an actor. I stepped over to the boy and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, speak." Fully well know that God is going to heal the boy, so I don't have to do anything, no mumbo jumbo, no nothing. No. I don't have to put on anything. Nah. And so it is like you must overcome the things that are in you before you become an overcomer. When God talk about an overcomer, he said here, "I will give power and they shall prophesy to 3.5 years almost." And then he said, "These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks. You see, God is connecting scripture with scripture. Giving you a scripture, he's turning you to Zechariah with the 2 candlesticks standing before and pouring the golden oil into the bowl. And brethren, God is trying to encourage us tonight. Amen. It is possible for us to make it.
Amen.
It is possible for us to be overcomers. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what we have been in the past.
Amen.
Regardless of what we were yesterday. It is possible that tonight we can make a covenant with God.
Amen.
To become overcomers.
God.
If you turn to where now, John. What is it? John 15. I know it's verse 33. He said, "I have overcome the world." Hmm?
16:33.
Yes. He said, "I have overcome the world." He said here, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have," look at it, "in me," two little words, "in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Those little words have big meaning. In me. Now, what is in me? What does Jesus mean by in me? Huh? Then he says, in the world, mm-hmm. you have trouble. Mm-hmm. Tribulation. But in me, yeah. you see, you have life and peace. Mm-hmm. Now, in me does not mean Christ in you. Okay. When Christ is in me, wherever I go, Christ has to go. I am the boss. Are you with me?
Yes.
You are in a car. Wherever the driver drives, you go. Unless you get out of that car. So therefore, when Christ is in you, you are still in charge. Let us swallow that a little bit. But when you are in Christ, you lose your individuality. You are no longer you. You cannot get mad when anybody bothers you. You cannot get sad when anything goes wrong. You cannot get happy because somebody gave you a few thousand dollars. Don't you understand? You lose contact with the physical world in a sense. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Christ in you. Help me. Is the scripture say that right? It's a hope.
Amen.
Huh? Christ in you is the hope of glory. That glory which he has promised, you will get that glory. You have a hope to get the glory because he's in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Will you hope for something that you have?
No.
When you get it, you still hope? No. It is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You do not hope anymore. I've got it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So you can lose your hope by getting it, the hope fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So that is Christ in you is still the hope. You haven't got it yet. But when you are in Christ, then you have got the glory. Because you are in a place that you have no power of your own. You have lost your ability to contract. You can't go out and make a contract and say, I will do this and I will do that. Come on, everybody here tonight. Everybody will be healed. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Come here, take it, brother. Boom. You know what I mean. That's a no-no.
Amen.
Amen. That's a no-no. The man who is in Christ, Christ is preeminent. Christ is the functioning spirit. He only goes along with what Christ said he should do. So therefore, the place to be is in Christ. Amen. And the way to be in Christ is to lose yourself. To lose yourself. To give up your individuality. To give up your command of things. And I want this and I want that. You know, to be unable to get mad. Have you got there yet? Huh? You still can get angry. You still can stomp out and slam the door. That's what God means by you're not ready. Because if anger is still in you, your back door is open. You hear me? Your front door is your mind. You remember in Ezekiel's temple, he speaks about the eastern gate. Huh? The eastern gate is the gate through which the king comes. If the king is coming, he's not coming through the northern or the southern or the eastern or the western gate. He's coming through the eastern gate. The eastern gate is open for the king. The mind must be open to God under all circumstances. No, but there's a problem with your back door. Your back door, you have two back doors there, and one is your emotions, and the other back door is your desires. And if these doors are not properly closed, amen, every animal will come in through there. Every beast, every devil will come in through there. My God, you must have those gates under proper guard. Because if someone can reach your emotion and disturb your emotion, the devil rules you.
Amen.
Do you want me to tell you how he does it? God is sending an angel to you. Daniel prayed, and God sent a messenger down to him. God is sending an angel to you, and this angel is on his way coming to you. And the devil sees that God is going to send you a blessing, and he gets somebody to slam right into you, bam, and you got mad. You turn him away. If you are angry, you cannot hear God.
That's true.
Amen. If you are in a passion, you cannot hear God. If you are submitting to the flesh at that time, at that period, you are cut off from God. Amen. Amen. No. Therefore, brethren, sons of God, daughters of Zion, trim your lamps. Trim your lamps. Because God says that unless you return to the first love, he will be forced to move your candlestick out of the way. Amen. Now, I'm running on very fast, you know. I'm not good at preaching. I will take you into avenues, and when you're finished, you wonder what he said. So I am just following the Spirit a little bit here, brethren. The church, hear me now. And I would like you to really question this. The church has lost its place in the candlestick and is no longer a church. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, brother says. My pastor, he's just wonderful. I don't know how wonderful he could be so that this scripture wouldn't apply to him. The word of God says the time would come when the church system would be handed over to Satan to trample underfoot. The church age is over.
Amen.
The church age is over. You still want to go to church. You still, there's a spirit there. A religious spirit will force you to go into a place where you have a pastor. Because without a pastor, of course, we cannot have any order. Without that structure, we cannot have any order. God ordained it like that. That you will not have any order unless you submit to the Spirit of God. Unless the people of God are submitting to the Spirit of God, there will be no order. And because there is disorder, a man comes in and now says, okay, there is my order. And he puts in his order. Mm-hmm. Man's order has usurped the order of God.
Right. Yes,
are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. Man's order has usurped the order of God. All the churches are following certain apostolic doctrines that have been handed down to them, and they are all following the Roman Catholic Church, for the Roman Catholic Church has a bishop and a papa, a father, an abomination before God. Now, any man that can get up and say that the position of the Pope is an abomination before God, then, you know, he probably would be worthy of death according to the catechism. Oh, yes. The catechism says all heretics are worthy of death. And if you don't recognize the Pope as Vicarius Filii Dei, vicar of the Son of God, then you are a heretic. I am most worthy heretic.
Amen.
Amen. The man has put himself in the place of God. He said he shall come into the holy place, and he shall take his place in the holy place, and he shall take the place of God in the holy place, and that the people would worship him. So it's no longer trouble in the outer court, but trouble is in the holy place. You fled from the outer court, and you fled into the holy place, and lo and behold, the devil put up his throne in the holy place. Where are you going to go? It's only one place for you to go. Into the Holy of Holies. Under the shadow of the Almighty, somebody said, under the shadow, the overshadowing of God, you need to run through that veil.
Amen.
You cannot go through the veil alive. With that life you have, with that flesh you have, with that carnal spirit, you cannot carry your order from the outer court, from the holy place, into the Holy of Holies. You are in trouble. You have to die there.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Then you go through the veil.
Mm-hmm.
Can we understand it? Am I going too much? Am I speaking words of... Listen, brethren. God is at this moment. We are at the edge of time. The edge of time. In my understanding, the tribulation will be over in the year 2008. It will be the last bang. 40 years of tribulation. God has allowed the church. He said, I grieve with this generation for 40 years. Amen. And after 40 years, they entered into the promised land. Right? After 40 years, they entered into the promised land. I see the tribulation as coming to its final cataclysmic end in the year 2008. And in that year, America will be destroyed. Where will you be?
Amen.
Why are you not getting ready now? Why, after having so much warning, are you waiting? Some don't believe it. It's your business. You go follow the other preachers who are telling you prosperity. Amen. You go follow the prosperity preachers. Every one of them will be destroyed. As a matter of fact, they have already been destroyed. They have already been destroyed. It's not yet manifested to you. Amen. You know, one brother, we were in a meeting, an elders meeting, about maybe a month or so ago, and he was telling me of these great brothers who were prophets of the Lord, and what they were saying. And I said to him, I have proof that that man is speaking from a spirit of divination. The spirits of divination have taken a hold of the church, and the church have gone a-whoring after prophets that are no prophets at all. Amen. Apostles that were not appointed of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the church is going down to hell. Amen.
Amen.
Because they cannot take sound doctrine. And the brother was mad at me. He was upset with me. He said, you have no right to be condemning these men. I said, brother, God tell us that we should have the discernment of spirits. And if you can sit down under a demon spirit and he can minister to you for 2-3 hours and you rise up and say, hallelujah, amen, you are going to be possessed by that same spirit. And this is what's happening to the people. This is why the people can't hear. God has given you one set of ears. And if you take your ears, spiritually speaking, and listen to lies, you will never recognize truth, for the lies will block your ears and prevent you from listening to truth.
Amen.
If you listen to loud music, you will never be able to listen to a fine-tuned instrument. You cannot, because the loud music destroys the power of your ears to hear something else. And God has so created man that we must hear God. If you want to heal your ears, begin to listen to scripture.
Amen.
Hear me, brethren. You want to hear God? You say you can't hear him. God not speaking to me. I can't hear him. Everybody is saying they are hearing God. Turn on the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Let it blast through your ears morning, noon, and night.
Amen.
Put it everywhere. Get a Walkman. Put on your ears while you're working. Let the word of God keep blowing through you. And you'll see what happens.
Amen.
It will heal your ears. If you are a person that likes listening to news, and you go and chat about people, and chat about things, and listen to news here, and listen to news there, you cannot take those ears and listen to God. He will not talk to you. And he will talk to you and you'll not hear. Are you with me? And somebody will come to you and say, brother, God said to tell you so and so and so. And you will doubt him. You will not have the ability to hear, to listen to God. You will not be able to submit to God. Because your ears have been listening to lies. This is the condition of this people. These people have been listening to lies for years and years and years. In the name of God. They were told that God said this and God said that. And good morning, Mr. Holy Ghost. They listen to lies. Truth has become alien to them. And to us. All of us are in the same condition. Little more, little worse, little better. Amen. Let your ears hear God. Learn to listen to God. And you will hear God. But as I was saying, that the church has come to a point where it is given over of God. They have rejected God. And God has taken away the candlestick. And there's no more anointing. And there's no more authority. Proof. Proof. I'm going to prove it to you. You go home. And you switch on any gospel thing. And you look at the preacher. Watch the gimmicks that he uses. Amen. He will jump. He'll do this, he'll do that, he'll do the other. He'll act pantomime. And he will do all manner of things to attract you. And he will use every psychology in the book. And at the end of it, he will say, give me an offering. One night I heard a message from a man. I just switched on the television. You know, sometimes you just switch it on. Feel like just relaxing a little, switch it on to hear something, anything. And here comes this brother. And the first word I heard out of the brother's mouth is that the word, the number 40 in Scripture, is a very important word. All my ears. Here he's talking truth. Somebody's going to tell me the truth now. He said that the word number 40 is the very important number. You see, God led me to 40. I studied 40. And so I was excited. I wanted to hear what he was saying. And he began to say 40 years in the wilderness. And David ruled for 40 years. Mm-hmm. This one ruled for 40 years. That one for 40 years. 40 years. And he came down so beautifully. And I said, oh, thank God. Somebody is talking truth on television. And then he said, now everybody in here must give me $40. I almost died. Use the word of God abominably. Almost died. And so we realize that the time has come when we should get out of this system, and not only getting out of the system, but getting the system out of us. We have had many people who came out of the churches and they went and formed a church worse than the churches out of which they came. Because man wants to be boss. And it's spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of the boss. Amen. Anytime a man wants to reign and rule over God's people, he is moving in the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, we look. You see, we started late.
Go ahead, brother.
Praise God. We started late. We are not supposed to go too late. So I'll soon be down here. Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing birth, pain to be delivered. Amen. Mm-hmm. The woman is the church. Mm-hmm. The moon is the church. And the pregnancy is the church. Mm-hmm. The church is pregnant with a church standing on top of a church. Now, which one of those churches are you in? The woman is a church, pregnant with a church, standing on top of a church. And you better decide where you are. Because all three of those have three different destinies. The moon, the church moon, supposed to receive its light from the sun Christ. The sun must shine on the moon to make the moon alive. But instead of the sun shining on the moon, the sun was shining on the woman. So that means there was one church left in darkness, candlestick move. The church system of today has lost its candlestick. And the ministries cannot help but going into sin. Because they rejected the divine order which God has placed in the earth. God says, I have put in the earth apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And any prophet that comes to you really from God, you reject him. Amen. And you require divination. You require someone who tell you how nice you are. The pretty things that are going to happen to you. What is wonderful. What is beautiful. That's all you want to hear. You don't want to hear the truth of God. And therefore, because you reject God, God has turned away from the church system. Name any church you want to name. The pastor is not in the will of God. It is difficult to make such a broad statement and be right. Absolutely difficult. Yet if it is made in the Spirit, it's right. Since it was not contemplated. In other words, question it. Brethren, anything I say, question it. Did you hear me? If you don't question it, I believe you didn't hear me. And I believe you are going away just as you came. If you question it, then it means that you are thinking. And that you're going to take this thing to heart. But if you belong to a church system and you have a pastor, you need to find a place of worship. It might be in your backyard. Where you can meet with people of God who want to have Jesus Christ as head, who want to be in Christ and not in church.
Amen.
You find the difference? The difference is that it has this hierarchy, this boss system that is set over the people, and they are Nicolaitans. Amen. They are Nicolaitans. They worship. Amen. Their leadership, their power. God has put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. How do you find these? My God says that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The sheep of God cannot follow another shepherd.
Amen.
Exactly. Amen. You must hear the voice of God. How do I hear the voice of God? If I don't have the Spirit of God in me, I won't hear the voice of God in you. Amen. And if I have the Spirit of God in me, and you are speaking in another voice, it's going to disturb me. It will disrupt me. Amen. And there are two types of disruption. I have preached to people who get annoyed and disrupted, but they couldn't get away from it. They didn't gnaw them until they come to the truth. Amen. And I'm begging you, brethren. I need to close. But I'm begging you that tonight you begin to look at the situation more differently, because God says you are not ready. And if you are convinced in your heart that you are not ready, you go to God and said, God, I am not ready. What can I do? What can I do to be ready, my God? Help me. Help me to be ready. And if you didn't hear him, keep on asking. Keep on asking until God begin to show you how to be ready. For we cannot go back to the old church to get ready.
Amen.
It is something new that God is bringing in. And God is bringing people, pressing people into that woman that is covered with the glory of God.
Amen.
That woman church that is covered with the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And my sheep will hear my voice. And my sheep will answer my call. And they will follow me.
Amen.
And I will give unto them eternal life. Hallelujah. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, I preach out more churches in this country than any other person that I know. Amen. I remember when Mavis and I would leave Miami and we would travel for 3 years not stopping. Going to one place, coming to you, 3 days here, 3 days there, 3 days there. Going on, traveling for 2 and 3 years. Actually 2 years and 10 months before we got back to Miami. And sometimes we would form 4 churches per month.
Wow.
4 churches per month. And there were churches right along the line. You know what I mean? Like down in Miami area, the whole Miami area, coming up to Fort Lauderdale, there were like 15 groups. And every night we would go to one different one. And it would go on right up to Daytona Beach, going right up to New York, or right up to Canada. Amen. And then we come down back and come through the Midwest, go off to California. And God was blessing us. You see, that's what he ordained me to do. I could do that. And it was marvelous. I could go in a city and just start crying out. And people would come and get saved. Oh, yes. I remember one day, I laid hands on my sister. And she began to bawl. Just bawl and scream like a pig. And as she screamed, people came running. And as they came through the door, they went down on their knees. And it just went on and on and on. And the revival couldn't stop. No, it couldn't stop. It just kept on. Right now, they have a church of over 5,000 people there in that spot. But brethren, what I am trying to say is that I preach all to all these people. And then I leave them. I leave them. And when I would leave them, some would continue in the Lord, and some would go join different churches, and some churches would be taken over, like a church in Los Angeles, taken over by this church in San Diego, taken over, the church in San Francisco, taken over, you know what I mean? And they would be taken over, and the bodies, some of the bodies struggling, wishy-washy, and all like that. But you leave them in the hand of God. And then they can get the food if they want to. They can always get the books, and they can always call, and they can always get some of the 1,000 tapes that we have. So all the message tonight as preached, anybody can get it from Czechoslovakia, from India, back to Russia, all over. They get the tapes because they ask for it. And there is Brother Gordon looking after them, feeding them. Amen. Brother Gordon didn't know that he's a feeder, you know, but he's feeding them. Any tape you want, you ask him, he feed you. Amen. Brother, I have to ask Brother Gordon for your tape. Yes, I remember it when I was on the plane. Intended to bring it with me, but I think Brother Gordon might find it for you. But they feed them. Brother George here is anointed to feed them. He has videos. He has everything. They feed you. Amen. Amen. And so I leave them. But you know what happened? After many, many years, they still come back into the world. They don't even have to know me. Some of them are against me. I have about 20,000 against me. I'm talking about a church that we formed. And we're preaching. And a man came in and took it away, and they, you know what I mean? They said, Brother Sess is a sorcerer and everything else like that. But I don't care. See, I wasn't doing it for my sake. And God told me one thing. He said, never own a church. Amen. And that was such a blessing to me. Yeah. I don't have to own any church. I just preach and run. Amen. Amen. All the trouble left with somebody else. those Amen. But praise be to God. God is tonight speaking. And the word that he speaks is that we are not ready. And you should trim your lamps. Get ready. Jesus is here. Let me give you a hint. Destruction coming. Are you going to wait until that time before you get ready? Too late. God is giving us time to get ready now. We are on the brink of time. Get ready now. God bless you. In the name of Jesus.
You want to take a few questions?
If you want to stay, I will.
Take a few questions.
Go ahead. Those of you who've been taking notes, if you have a few questions to hit me with, then I am ready to repent. Ready to repent. No joke. If I ever made a mistake, I would have it regretted.
You got to the end, and you said there were two kinds of distraction or diversion, and you stopped, and you were closing the meeting. So what are those two
kinds? Let me see what I was talking about. I must have been talking about the...
two back doors.
But I did go into that.
Yeah. The emotions and desires.
The emotions and the desires.
Yeah.
Those are the areas that Satan working.
Right. So,
now, I know, yes. I said there are two what now?
Diversions.
You were back doors.
No.
Distractions. You defined one, but not the second.
What did I define as one? Was it the emotions?
No, that was another point. That was a different point.
Well,
talking about the prophets, kind of the false prophets, the distractions.
Yes.
I think that's what he's. Is that what he was saying? That these false prophets come and they distract people.
I remember that very carefully. I had a vision before my eyes of what is happening now. And I remember saying that. But the second one, I cannot remember what I was leading up to. You see, I get these flashes. I see the thing. And I stay too long on one, and then I forget the other one. But you know what? Maybe God put it off till tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. Yes, brother. Well, you said something, brother Jerry. Praise be to God.
You talked about anger as being, you gave the example of anger for the emotions, like the angel was on the way, Satan interrupted. And if we have anger, that we can't receive the blessing, that was part of the conversation there.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of it, and things beside just two things. Anger is, I gave the example of how God will be sending a message to you, something very important, and Satan sees it, and he runs in and gets somebody to slam right into you, and you get mad, and you lose the message, you see. That is one, and of course that's emotions. It comes right back to the two things, the emotions and the desires. If you have desires in your heart that are not desires of God, they will haunt you and drive you until you can't hear God. And that's a back door. Satan can come in through your desires. So you have to be careful. One day I asked God, I said to him, Lord, how can I beat Satan at his game, you know, in trying to tempt me? And God said, desire nothing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you have no desires, Satan cannot tempt you. Because when a man is tempted, he's pulled away by his desires.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
System fit in with the world system of
what the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes. So the church system, the whole church system, mm-hmm. has been is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's gone, it's not just the love of money, but it's because they have broken God's divine order. For if you love money, or if you have lust, or if you have evil desires, or if you have anything that is wrong, God says that he will deliver you from it if you will hear his voice and you will seek his face. But if you cannot hear his voice because you have voices talking to you and saying, thus saith the Lord, so and so and so. And if they are saying, thus saith the Lord, and you are submitting to these voices, then you can see that you are not hearing God. For instance, a man who will preach a beautiful message, and then when you get very emotional, they have a way of touching your emotions. Mm-hmm. And now any preacher that appeals to my emotions, I will shut the door. I won't hear anything that he says. Because the preacher is not supposed to appeal to your emotions. He must speak the word of God, and the Spirit of God must touch your heart and mind. And then you will respond. But if he begins to appeal to your emotions, and you said, oh God, these poor children, there, look, he puts up a picture on the wall. And I could show you some children in India that you would just weep for them. And when we do that in church, and then we ask you for an offering, it means that we are coming to you through your emotions. Now you go and you work and you have a little money saved up for a rainy day or whatever, and you put your hand in it and you take it out and you give them. You have become part of their sin. That's what we call corporate sin. A person can sin. You were not there. You didn't agree with them. You were not part of their sin. But you help them. And once you help them to commit more sin.
Right.
So you become responsible. And God put a curse upon your money. Because you have given to a person who is disobeying him.
Amen.
And because this person was able to plead with you, all right, let me see anybody who has the first $1,000. And let me see those. And it goes down to the last cent. Anybody who have a cent in your pocket, to bring it out. And that kind of pleading. And when they do that, and you respond, you are as much guilty as the person who is doing it. You see what I mean? It's what we call corporate sin. You can become a sinner. You can commit sin by agreeing with sinners. The other day we had an election. And here was a man who was for gay marriage. He was fostering gay marriage. He was fostering abortion, which is nothing but murder. Plain and simple, it is murder. If you're going to kill a fetus, you are going to kill a human being. And so, you as a Christian, you go and you vote for him. You have entered into corporate sin. And because of the Christians who have voted in this thing for this condition, there is a certain judgment that is going to come down on this land.
Amen.
And you are going to see it upon the Christian church. You understand what I'm saying? Corporate sin. You can enter into corporate sin by going along with a person after the person sinned or before the person sinned. Because God should direct you where to direct your money. For your money is like blood. And in the old time tabernacle, if you didn't have a turtle dove or a proper offering to give, you could take money. And they would accept the money as your blood. Yes, as a blood offering. So you must understand what I'm talking about. God bless you. Any more questions? Yes.
Says, could you describe how God thinks?
Oh, God thinks. God says, my ways are not like your ways, neither my thoughts like your thoughts. So if a man can figure out how God thinks, then he has a mind that, we don't know how God thinks. We just know that God knows all things and that he loves us. And he wants us to be like him. He wants to exalt our position. The evolutionists would say that he wants us to evolve into higher beings. And the more low-down thoughts you have, the more low-down things you do, the more you remain in lower ground. And the more you obey the word of God, the more you are lifted up into a higher realm and a higher dimension. And then you can find out more and more and more about God. But nobody, no being, knows exactly how God thinks. If Satan knew how God thinks, he would never have fallen.
Second part says, if we're going to evolve into that man that God wants us to be, aren't we going to learn how God thinks? If when we get to that quote-unquote plateau or that manifestation?
Anytime we find out how God thinks, we are finding out how God thinks on the level at which we are. When you go higher, you find out that God thinks different. And when you get higher, you're going to find out. So you see, there's no way of fathoming God. Amen. The Bible says he's unfathomable. So you will know some more than what you know now. If, for instance, he said, you shall be known as you are known. You shall know as you are known. Like how God know you now, you will know. But you won't know, as far as God is concerned, how God thinks, except on your level.
We could go in circles for about 2 hours, couldn't we?
You bet. God bless you, brother.
Praise God. Anyone have something to say?